Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. I hope everyone's having an amazing, beautiful, sunny, bright, positive day.
Yes, so far, so good. The sun is shining. I look like a TikToker.
You do.
What's up counts. Don't I look like...
You look like a kid. You know, honestly...
I look like I could be friends with Snitch.
This is part of our overall, you know, 2021 Q1 strategy, just trying to target younger demographics. And so you're dressing like a young person today, and I think the young people will respond.
Thank you, young people. We see each other. What are you doing to attract the new demographic today?
I don't know. The TikTok I spoke so highly about yesterday, like, really overperformed on TikTok. I think because I, like, made it such a stink on the show, like, so many people went from podcast app to TikTok to check it out, and it did really well, and I'm really proud of myself. And I also did another TikTok yesterday that is pertinent to today's show, because I know I spoke a while about how I was going to stop buying viral makeup from TikTok, because these products go viral, I buy them, and they just, like, never work on me, and they don't look half as good as they do on other people. But I could not resist getting the KVD vegan Good Apple Balm Foundation. It's like this new type of foundation. It's not liquid. It's a balm. I don't know. I got it yesterday. I made a couple TikToks. I'm wearing it today. I don't know if anyone can notice, but I'm really pleased with my, not only my content, but my skin today. I've heard it doesn't wear very well, so we'll see what happens at the end of the
show.
Like,
over time?
Yeah, like, separates, gets a little oily. I mean, I do have dry skin, so that's not a problem for me. And I could stand to look, like, a little, you know, glowy.
Totally. Well, you look super glowy, and your skin does look really good. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Thank you for, you know, pulling in the Gen Z.
Yes.
And I think we're both doing our part. We both have a middle part. I really don't want to be one of those old people who, like, harps on that trend, because, like, I find it to be...
Lame.
Lame, and just, like, you're showing your age.
No, and, like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but, like, joking about your age is not a personality trait. Like, it's never has been. It never will be. It does make you interesting. Just, like, be confident in who you are. Sorry.
Totally. Age with power, like Norma would say.
Yeah, age with power, like Norma would say. And also, I bought a Norma top yesterday.
Do you know
what Norma sells on Amazon Prime?
Sickening.
Sickening. So I got a couple Norma tops yesterday. I just, like, need clothes. Like, it weird. Like, I just farted and it became spring, and it's like, what the fuck? So I have, like, nothing to wear. All I have is turtlenecks.
No, totally. Also, speaking of Amazon Prime, you did a Patreon video yesterday that is really just, like, influencing everyone, including myself. Claude did a video of her best Amazon finds, like the products that she's bought on Amazon that have changed her life, made her life easier, like things you need to get. I was influenced to buy a number of things.
What'd you get?
The mini chopper, of course.
Literally yesterday I made taco meat. What is normally, like, 30 minutes, you know, I chop garlic and onion, and then I brown the meat, sauce, and everything. 10 minutes. Like, the chopper changed my fucking life.
Wow. And also, the video that I put up on Patreon before yours, I'm using a garlic mincer that's, like, this mechanical
thing. Yes, I know that
where one. My hands are, like, breaking. So to go from that mincer, which I thought was, like, you know, the pinnacle of invention.
No.
To your chopper.
Literally, you press a button. It's the craziest thing. Like, I bought it 100% sure it wasn't going to work. I just knew that they have these, like, electric chopper, so I bought the cheapest one just in case it didn't work, and it's literally the best thing that I
own. It's like a mini food processor, and when I'm chopping a lot of things, I do use my food processor, but why would I make another dish where I don't have to?
No, it's the best.
So I was influenced to buy that, influenced to buy the heated eyelash curler.
Okay, it's good.
Yeah, and influenced to get those clips. Every time I finally, like, get the right hair clips, like, the trends change, and now there's a new clip I need
to get. I know. But so, yeah, on our Patreon, I think it ended up, like, maybe 15 of my favorite things from Amazon. So patreon.com/morningtoast for that fun little vlog, and people seem to like it, so Jackie's going to do one.
I'm going to do one next month. I'm really excited. I've been going through my Amazon purchases. I actually, like, buy some really crazy shit that works.
Well, your husband is also, like, gadget obsessed. Yours is going to be really interesting.
I'm going to bring him into the video because I think he'll have a lot to offer the people. Like, he brought those LED lights into our life, and literally I've posted the link to them on my Instagram so many times, and then I look at, like, the number of times it was clicked and ordered, and it's insane.
Also, Zach, like, your husband could have, like, a gadget channel. He could be, like, a tech YouTuber.
He could be, like, an unboxer.
And it should literally, like, his channel should be called Gadgets and Gizmos Aplenty.
No, he really could, like, in a parallel universe. Right. He's, like, a YouTuber who does, like, sneakers and gadgets.
No. Like, totally. Like, that little bedroom in your house that is, like, converted into, like, his space, like, for his sneakers and gadgets.
Like, it's like Maurice's, like, invention studio.
Yeah. No, but it's like it's like his office. Like,
in Beauty and the Beast.
That is, he would film in there.
Yeah. No, it is his office, and it's also, like, gadget heaven.
Excuse me. Oh, my God. Gadgets and Gizmos Aplenty.
Yes, exactly. So that will be coming soon. Head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast.
I just want to shout out really quickly to all the Jewish toasters who are dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. Which is not only, like, carb withdrawal, but it's the unbearable constipation from matzah, like, literally eating cardboard. Like, it is so torturous, but, like, yesterday I was so hungry, and I just could not find anything to eat, so I had, like two huge pieces of matzah, and then I'm like, I haven't shit today. Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I also had matzah crackers with my taco meat for dinner. Like, it's just, like, a lot of, what's the word with a B that, like, it, like, blocks your stomach. Like, it's a lot of
bran. Bowel?
No, it's like
bran.
No,
that,
like,
blocks your stomach.
No, like, it's like, does anyone know what I'm talking
about? I don't
even
know what you're, like, trying to say.
Okay, let me try to explain. It's like a word that starts with B that, like, I'm not sure what the word, like, actually means. That's the problem. I can't explain it.
You don't know the word and you don't know what
it means. No, yeah. So, but I just know it's like a B, and it's like when, like, your stomach is, like, completely bound up, like, with, like, starch. Do you know what the fuck I'm talking about?
Not really.
Yeah, no, honestly.
But maybe someone is shouting it into their
podcast. It's like, whatever. That's what I'm feeling. Like, lots of, what's the word? Like, whatever. I'm, like, clogged up, and I know a lot of people are, too, because the matzah is the devil.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I had a matzah pizza last night.
Oh, was it good?
And to be honest, like, I was already feeling constipated before Passover. I guess I'm just not having enough fiber. You should add a supplement to your daily routine.
I know, but then it's just, like, one more job for me, you know? And I'm a girl with no job, so that's not going to happen.
So you can't have a supplement.
Unfortunately.
Well, no, my matzah pizza was pretty good. And, yeah, Passover's tough. And it's always, like, you want to use it as a reason to, like, do no carbs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, can't have bread. I'll cut out the other carbs too. Maybe lose a few LBs on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Not what's happened. I literally eat a coconut macaroon every 30 minutes.
I hate coconut macaroons.
They are
a Passover delicacy, and I fucking hate them. Dude, you have the one that comes in the can?
I have all of them because I hosted a Seder. Like, I ordered macaroons. People brought macaroons. I bought macaroons. I have every kind of macaroon, chocolate covered, like, everything. I have macaroons that are the ones from the can that are personally my favorite. Then I also have, like, I got from Magnolia Bakery. You know they do kosher for Passover treats. They have chocolate-covered matzah, which was sold out by the time Zach got there. But they have fresh macaroons and chocolate-covered macaroons, and it's, like, literal shredded coconut.
I love – it's, like, that's really one of the privileges of living in New York since it's such, like, a Jewish town. If you go to a majority of restaurants in the breadbasket and ask for matzah, they'll have it.
That's so sweet.
I know. So that's something we definitely, like, take for granted, like, living in New York. It's really nice.
That is nice. I also haven't been to a restaurant, like, since Passover, but – I'll try.
I have two quick things to say.
Please do.
The first is that yesterday there was a E! True Hollywood Story marathon on E! That I watched. I watched the Spice Girls one, the Sex and the City one, and then first half of the Clueless one, which really wasn't good. I don't think there was just, like, enough material there for Clueless, you know?
Yeah.
But first of all, I learned so much, like, because Spice Girls, like, I was really, really young. I didn't know a lot about, like, the salaciousness of it all, like, especially what Mel B went through with Eddie Murphy. Like, there was this whole thing where he, like, literally denied that he was the father of their baby and, like, wouldn't pay child support. It was, like, super messy in public. And I didn't realize that Jerry was the one who really broke up the group.
Of course. Like, what'd you think?
I was just so young. Like, I was just like, Spice Girls are here and then they're not here. Like, I wasn't looking at the blogs, you know?
She was the Zane.
You know, it was crazy. And then the Sex and the City one was really, really interesting. They really captured the show as, like, a cultural phenomenon. But also what I found to be so interesting was, like, how all the women got to, Like, for me, it was like, I didn't know any of them before, and they all just got lucky and got this role. But they were all, like, really esteemed actresses, especially Cynthia Nixon, like, who was, like, one of the first people ever to be on two Broadway shows at once. Like, she would run from theater to theater during intermission.
Wow.
Yeah, like, so I just learned a lot. And then, towards the end of the day, they started playing, like, the newer ones. Remember when they did a resurgence? And, my God, those new ones were terrible. Like, just comparing that to the old ones, even I watched the Kim one again, and I love it, and I cry every time they talk about Alice Johnson, and I just love it. It's really not that well done compared to the other ones. Used to be 2 hours long. Like, the Sex and the City one was so in-depth, and it's like they really have this amazing franchise. Like, Eat Your Hollywood Story is so recognizable, and people are obsessed with documentaries these days. Like, I can't believe E! Hasn't taken more advantage of that.
I think they tried.
They stunk it up. Like, the Kim one did no service. The narrator was giving me, like, major, like, Emily in Paris social media vibes, you know? Like, not only Kim's social media, like, it was so robotic and, like, stupid. And I was like, I can't believe I thought this was good when it was on. And it really took me seeing some of the best work from, like, the early 2000s and comparing it to the one they did last year. And it's just, it didn't cut it.
Do you think that it's because in the ones from the early 2000s, like, one, you didn't know a lot of that backstory, and two, there wasn't social media at the time, so even if you were older and were able to keep up, like, you wouldn't have known the ins and outs, whereas today, we know everything about our favorite celebrities, especially Kim Kardashian. There's nothing that E! True Hollywood Story could tell you that you don't already know.
Fine, that's a fair point, but I wasn't upset with the Kim one for not telling me things I didn't know. It was just, like, such low production value, you know?
Okay.
Like, it was just shitty. And... yeah, I stand by what I said.
I hear you.
And it could have been way longer. They just kept skipping. Like, then she launched KKW Beauty. Then she got Alice Marie. Like, what happened between? Like, slow down, because they used to be 2 hours and now it was 1 hour.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, if anyone at E! Is listening, like, put more money resources into revamping the E! True Hollywood franchise. It could really revitalize your network, which desperately needs it.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment.
And then the second thing I wanted to say was, yesterday was just, like, such a busy day for me work-wise, and I'm really now working on, you know, putting the wheels in motion for my next tour. It won't be for a while. It'll be at the end of the year, but, you know, you got to book dates and cities, and I just feel like so much has changed within our country. Like, people moved out of big cities, and, like, I just don't know where to go, you know? I feel like I'm starting from scratch. So I just wanted to put a PSA out there. Like, if you want to come see me on tour, can you just, like, send me a message and, like, tell me where you live and, like, where you'd like me to come, just so I can get some, like...
If you start to see some similarities in the answers, you could...
I'm like, I feel like R&D. I'm about to put together... remember, like, when you were in college and you had to use, like, WebMonkey surveys? Like, I'm going to fucking put one together just so I can... Like, where are the people? Where did everyone go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'll find out.
So please, just, like, speak up.
Love to see it.
Thanks. How was your day?
My day was really good. Honestly, I thought yesterday's episode of The Toast was so funny. I was thinking about it all day long, just laughing out loud myself. Like, so many parts. First, like, the thing with the dressing rooms, and then my outfit from the day before, and obviously the Krispy Kreme CEO. Like, there was just so many funny moments, and it really carried me through the day. And I also just feel like it was just a great slice of toast.
Yeah. Also, I'm so glad you brought that up. Just to update everyone from yesterday, we have heard from the Krispy Kreme team. We have
a delivery schedule for next week
after Passover, so because somebody DM'd me and they were like, I was literally panicking listening to today's episode because I know you didn't realize that it's Passover. And, like, if you guys did get a delivery, you wouldn't be able to eat them. So the second they reached out, I told Jackie, I'm like, make sure they know to deliver them after Passover.
Next week, hopefully, our box of original glaze will be arriving.
And I'm definitely interested in doing a mukbang. Are you?
Always.
Always. I love just eating on camera.
Yeah.
Call me Trisha Paytas.
Can't wait. Other than that, Bruce got checked up from his post-neutering.
Oh, that's good.
All everything's good. Looking good on the Bruce front.
Thank God.
And yeah, just getting back into the swing of things, you know?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a busy week, but you know what? Hustle, hustle, hustle. Meetings, meetings, meetings.
I also had to read, like, all night last night because I finished the book for the Redheads.
Oh, yeah.
And we are recording today. I'm very excited. If you have questions about the book or, you know, any other book that you saw me read this month, just questions about books in general for me and the gals, email us, theredheadsbookclub@gmail.com.
Fabulous.
We love to see it.
I heard the book is causing quite a stir amongst the community.
You did hear that?
Lots of people having lots of thoughts. I did.
Yeah. No, it's an extremely interesting book. I'm really excited to talk about it.
So yeah, I think
with that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Off our chests, we can get into the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And you might have noticed this sickening plant behind me, or as we like to call it, plant.
Mick plant.
Oh, sorry, Mick plant. And it's very appropriate that today's episode is brought to you by Bloomscape, which is where we got our McPlant. It's been a long winter stuck indoors, but warmer days are almost here. Say it with us. Spring is coming. So get ready to shake off the winter gloom, throw open your front door, back door, any door will do. Let's get outside. And if your home isn't quite the oasis you've always envisioned, you got to check out Bloomscape. They make it easy to grow the lush springtime retreat of your dreams. Also, the book that I just read, it ends with us. She's like obsessed with gardening and opens her own, spoiler alert, florist shop. And it kind of made me like want to like, you know, get into gardening. Like the way she described it, like so stunningly beautiful. Yes, I live in an apartment, but it's definitely on my list of to do.
No, and Bloomscape will get you there.
They deliver healthy plants right to your door, plus all the grow how you need to help them thrive. Find the plants perfect for your space, whether you've got tons of light or hardly any. Thousands of people have already upgraded their spaces with beautiful indoor plants from Bloomscape. I am one of them in my home and office. And now Bloomscape is taking it outside with their new outdoor bloom kits. So if you're lucky enough to have an outdoor space, you can also have like a real garden. So this plant is the same one I have in my home. It's super easy to take care of. It requires very little maintenance and it really spruces up, livens up the space.
Yeah. Literally, there's life in the space.
The new outdoor bloom kits from Bloomscape are exactly what we all need right now. It's the easiest, most convenient way to get growing. You can shop a variety of young plants, accessories, tools, and supplies, everything you need to get your patio or porch springtime ready. Bloomscape's patented shipping technology makes them one of the few who can deliver happy, healthy plants of all sizes across the U.S. And Bloomscape will ship at the perfect time to arrive after the last winter frost so your plants can grow healthy and strong. Their kits are super customizable, you can mix and match sizes and colors. And since no two plants are alike, Bloomscape makes it easy to filter plants by how much light or attention they need. Bloom kits come with a mix of annual plants suited for your environment, complementary colors and needs, so everything grows in harmony. If you want to get 15% off your plant order of $100 or more, use the promo code TOAST at bloomscape.com. That's 15% off plant orders of $100 or more at bloomscape.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Okay, let's get into our first story that is just so weird.
Okay.
Rachel Bilson is spilling the tea on her interesting interaction with her former classmate and fellow Hollywood star Rami Malek.
This is really weird.
Yeah. While speaking on Dax Shepard and Monica Padman's Armchair Expert podcast, new podcaster Rachel Bilson opened up about the time the Oscar winner, Rami Malek, asked her to delete their high school photo off of Instagram. For a refresher, they went to high school together and she posted...
And they were like friends.
Yeah, she says that they were friends. She posted a throwback image of her and Rami, elated to be in New York City when they were teenagers. At the time, she commented on the fashion and wrote in the caption, "Hey, at Rami Malek, where'd you get that gold chain? Hashtag TBT, hashtag Oscar worthy, hashtag don't forget the little people."
So this was when like there was so much Oscar buzz for him as Freddie Mercury.
Of course.
And like he might have even just won. So he was like really in the news and she was just like hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah, she said, "Remy was a good friend of mine. We were in the same crew in high
school."
Rami,
I think.
Oh, sorry, Rami. "We were in the same crew in high school. We did the Crucible together senior year. We were the leads in it together," all these things. Talking about
so
how
cute.
They were friends. Obviously, he gets super famous, and he's always been extremely talented, even in high school. "I had posted a throwback of us from our senior trip to New York. We're super nerdy, just the dorkiest picture of the both of us. But I throw it up because it's funny, and I think it's so important to be able to make fun of yourself." But after sharing the image, she said that Rami reached out to her directly. However, it wasn't what she expected. She recalled, "I don't usually check my DMs on my Instagram. Maybe a week goes by and I actually look and I have a message from Rami. But it wasn't like, 'Hey, how are you?' It was straight to, 'I would really appreciate if you take that down. I'm a really private person.'" She was like, oh shit, okay.
Pittsville Central.
She said, "I got really hot and started sweating. I'm all nervous, like, oh God, what did I do? He was a really good friend. It's a funny picture, you know? I don't take myself that seriously." According to Rachel, he just didn't like the picture of himself. She's friends with his stylist, and
right.
The stylist was like, "Well, it's not a great picture of him."
So?
We're
kids. Here's the thing. I'm struggling between, like, really relating to someone who doesn't like a photo of themselves. But, like, from high school, like, I just feel like at that point, as adults, like, we let go of our high school insecurities. I don't know. I feel bad for Rachel because, like, he could have been nicer. But, like, Rami Malek, like, is weird. Like, that's, like, his whole brand. He's, like, a weirdo Mr. Robot, you know? So, like, I don't know. This whole story just, like, makes me uncomfortable for
makes
literally
me
everyone
so
involved.
So uncomfortable. But my question is, like, she was famous first, and, like, she became a huge star.
When she was a teenager.
Yeah, for, like, after high school for a long time. Like, were they friends then? You know, because she sort of jumps from high school and then Rami's this big star. It's like, what about the time that you were a big star?
Right, so maybe like Rami's like harboring some resentment from like Rachel getting really famous on the OC, etc. And like not, you know, remembering the little people. And now that it's Rami who's made it big, Rachel is like, you know, being left in the dust.
Yeah, and she's like, don't forget the little people. That was the hashtag. And it's like, but you're not little people, you're Summer Roberts.
Also, I know Rachel Bilson like has a huge pit right now because this has now became a huge story, yeah. Which is like the last thing Rami Malek wanted. So like, I know she didn't mean it. She was probably just like, you know, you're on a podcast, you're sharing a story, you forget like the implications of it. And now it's like all over E! News and I have a pit for her. I really do. Because I think she's probably a really nice girl.
100%. I have a pit for her. Like that is just the worst feeling ever. Like I understand why she posted the photo. I understand why she felt awkward. I understand why she still feels awkward. I don't know if the friendship can survive this. I really don't.
The thing is that I don't think there was a friendship to survive.
Yeah.
It's abundantly clear that these two are just not on the same page. But I guess like you learn something new every day. Rami Malek and Summer Roberts went to high school together.
Yes. And in reading this story, I learned something else new about the high school that they went to. Two other famous people went there.
What's the high school?
Notre Dame High School. Oh. Two other people went there. And have a photo together from their time there. Catherine McPhee and Meghan Markle.
Shut the...
I know. And oh then I God. Clicked on the so photo. Wait. Look at this photo.
They both look exactly the same.
And this is like when they were in like a theater program together okay, there.
Save that. We have to post it to our Instagram.
Okay.
But also that actually really tracks because after the Oprah interview, David Foster and Catherine McPhee were spotted out having dinner with the royals, Harry and Meghan. So of course they knew each other from high school.
Yes.
That's actually so sweet. I'm happy Meghan has like a friend, you know, like a longtime friend. And Catherine McPhee is not thirsty.
No. And that's a really great duo.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's just like Erin Foster's like so close to Meghan Markle. And like, I know Erin Foster. Like she wrote, her and Sarah like wrote something on my book. So like, I am like 3 degrees of separation away from Meghan Markle. Not to make it about me.
But here you go.
Making it about me.
Just some interesting high school factoids. And what a
where
school.
Is, yeah, I was going to say, where is Notre Dame High School?
I believe that it's in California.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it just like churns out. Fabulous famous people.
That's also like Marymount. I think that school is in California. That's where the Kardashians went. And that's also where Olivia Jade and her sister went.
Yeah, but I think that school like churns out famous people because it's like the children of famous people who wind up
the children of like wealthy people.
Wealthy or famous who wind up being wealthy and or famous themselves.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's fair
point. So that's the coincidence there.
Is Notre Dame like a performing arts school?
They obviously have an incredible performing arts program. I'm sorry, I didn't study up on the school before I came up to the show.
Okay, I was just wondering. Sorry.
But definitely do some research and find out. Maybe that's where you should have gone.
By the way, if I could redo my life over, I know I really do have no regrets, no regrets, no regrets. But the fact that I never like was in performing arts, I wrote about this a lot in my book. Like it's one of my biggest regrets. Like even in my, like, okay, I like my school. So I don't wish I went to a different school, but like the fact that I was never in a play and I wasn't in the choir for more than 35 seconds, like that is like a huge letdown for me. Cause like when in my life am I going to be able to express myself in that way?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm really going to encourage my children to like follow their passions.
Here and now you get to express yourself every day.
I know, but I get in trouble when I sing. So
that's true. But you know, you have to fight for your passions.
I know. It's just one of my like my few life regrets.
Okay.
My other life
regret. It's a good lesson to learn. And I think that's definitely something that you'll take with you like to your future children. And,
yes.
And you'll instill in them. And they will be so passionate about what they do.
One of my other regrets is not getting into the cop car. I think I've shared that story a few times.
You have.
What are some of your life's biggest regrets?
My biggest life regret was going on that teen tour that summer. I just feel like I could, like, that's literally my biggest regret. Because everything else, it's like, yeah, I've made mistakes. But, you know, it's not mistakes if you learn something, Suez Canal.
Yeah.
And so, but that, like, nothing was learned. It was a complete waste of, like, what could have been a fabulous summer for me. I could have gone back to fat camp. I was a little chunky. I could have lost a few pounds. And instead, like, the whole trajectory of my life was just off.
No, it wasn't. Because you took control.
No, I would still be sitting here if I didn't go on that teen tour. And that's why it's something that I regret.
Right,
because
it's
like
have...
a summer of my life that was wasted. And I would still be who I am today, which I'm happy with. But I would have had a better summer in the 11th grade. And you know what? At that point in my life, like, I could have really used a good summer.
Right, and that's like, what I was just about to say.
I couldn't use, like, another traumatic, like, hard friend-making experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's the last thing I fucking needed.
Well, honestly, that's another thing you really learn growing up. Like, and I think Carol Radswell was trying to tell us this. Like, as a young, fabulous person, you only have so many, like, fabulous summers. Especially, like, when you're in high school. Like, those summers are so formative. You have so many, like, first-time experiences, your first kiss. Like, I just feel like I didn't take... And I used to love summer, don't get me wrong. Like, I used to live 10 months for two. But I feel like I just took it for granted. of like those summers just flew by, and like those were like some of the best summers of my life.
Yeah, and I also think, I think in high school you do a good job of taking advantage of the summer, but some people do start to feel pressure to like do a program that's gonna advance them college. For college or whatever. Like, no, in high school, enjoy your summers. They are meant just to be pure fun. And then also in college, you definitely wanna make your, spend your summers intentionally, get an internship that will help get a job.
Yeah.
And it is really important in like the job search to have had those internships. But I do think that you should prioritize your summers because you'll never get those back unless you become a teacher, which is a wonderful reason to become a teacher.
I could not agree more. Of course, you should have other better motives, like wanting to help the youth, but I don't think it's bad to have summers off on the top of your list because I feel that wholeheartedly. Then Cal Rodswell should become a teacher because then she would have an eternity of good summers left.
That's not what she was saying about good summers.
I know. She meant like her age.
Yeah, and just like overall vivaciousness.
I wonder how many summers she has left, or do you think she's done?
No, I think she wound up having more summers than she expected.
Yeah. That's what happens when you date a younger man.
Mm-hmm. Or that's just like what happens when you age with power. You can have as many summers as you want.
So true.
Okay, you ready for our next story? It's a little satanic news.
Ooh, satanic news.
Nike denies involvement.
Who?
Nike.
Oh.
You know?
I said Meghan Markle.
Have you heard of Nike?
You said it weird.
Roll the tape. You guys, everyone rewind and let us know. Did I say it weird?
You did. You were like, nine. You did. Aram, did she say it weird? Yeah.
Wow.
You did.
I won't forget this. Nike denies involvement with Lil Nas X Satan shoes containing human blood.
What?
Yep.
I don't understand this whole saga.
Nike is collaborating. I'm sorry. They don't want to be involved.
Scratch that.
Start from the beginning.
Roll tapes. You're having trouble with the story.
I know. There's so much at play. Okay. And I think it's like the satanicness of the story.
By the way,
it's like I don't want to absorb
it. The power
of
the devil has entered your spirit. Like, yeah. That's what's happening. Also, I don't want to make jokes about the devil because as I'm learning from this little Nas controversy, like, you can't joke about the devil. I don't know much about like the devil or Satan because we don't have that in Judaism, but I'm just going to stay out of this one.
Lil Nas is collaborating with the streetwear company MSCHF on a pair of Satan shoes, only 666 pairs of which went on sale on Monday. They did sell out. The controversial kicks, which are apparently modified Nike Air Max 97s, are decorated with a pentagram pendant and a reference to Luke 10:18, a Bible verse about Satan's fall from heaven.
I wonder if Carlton Jebbia got a pair.
The sneakers also contain a drop of human blood in the sole of the shoe.
Ew.
Sole, S-O-L-E, drawn from members of the MSCHF team, the company told NBC News on Sunday. News of the shoes drew outrage over the Palm Sunday weekend. Some critics slammed both Lil Nas and Nike, but Nike was quick to distance itself from the shoes, pointing out that they're adaptations of existing products. They said, "We do not have a relationship with Lil Nas or MSCHF. Nike did not design or release these shoes, and we do not endorse them."
So why do people think Nike is a part of this?
Because it's a Nike sneaker that they redesigned.
Are you allowed to do that? There's the check.
Yeah. So I think also this is now going to become litigious for Nike for like reset, like for all of this. But it's just like the satanic element, which really has people all riled up.
I just can't believe there's 666 people who like would wait online and crave a pair of shoes with a drop of human blood in it. But people are weird.
People are weird. And it's more than that because they like sold out so quickly.
Right.
I'm good on the satanic elements personally.
No, I have enough devilish people in my life. I don't need to harbor the spirit of the devil. But I like that song. Call me when you want. Call me when you want. I don't know what he's actually saying, but I really like that song. It's going viral on TikTok. It'll hit the radio soon.
Is that Call Me By Your Name?
Yes, but it's Call Me. Maybe he's saying Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, because the song's called Montero, Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name. No, that doesn't sound right. I'm pretty sure he's saying Call Me What You Want. But maybe he's not.
And the music video for the song is satanic as well. Lil Nas is seen that he's seduced out of what appears to be the Garden of Eden and falls into hell and gives the devil a lap dance.
And he takes a stripper pole down to hell. And people are all outraged about it. And I don't know enough to like say something, but I thought it was funny. And he's quite a good dancer. Very limber. I didn't see that. I didn't expect that. Because he's always wearing clothes that are quite restrictive, you know, like those cowboy outfits, like you can't really move your arms. But he was wearing spandex and he really laid it down.
Hmm. Well, that's the latest in devil worship news.
Yeah, no, we will keep you updated on all the news in the satanic world. I was just about to make a really bad joke. I'm so glad I didn't.
Good.
That's called growth.
Okay, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Melissa Rycroft reveals she
Who?
Was former Bachelorette reveals she was turned down for Real Housewives of Dallas twice. You know,
wait,
Melissa Rycroft.
Melissa? Show me pictures.
She's like former Bachelorette from like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And she sometimes guest judges on DCC Making the Team.
Oh, cool.
She's a former DCC, I believe. Now she lives in Dallas and they won't let her on the show.
Why?
I don't know. It kind of like makes sense, but I didn't know they had like such a high bar. I would think that any like former sort of famous influencer person could get on if they wanted to.
I find that so shocking.
Yeah, she recently did a Q&A on Instagram. Someone asked, why would you never go on The Real Housewives of Dallas? She said, I've been interviewed and turned down twice. I am so not housewife material.
Well, maybe it's just that she really doesn't know any of the women. Like, that's a possibility. By you have way, to be tied a little bit.
Melissa Rycroft is the one who Jason Mesnick, like, dumped for Molly.
Oh, so she didn't win.
No, but she became The Bachelorette.
Oh, well, right. So she could have been
Mrs. Mesnick. Jason Mesnick. And that's when he did a full Mesnick.
Got
and
it.
Went back.
That was an iconic. He was
the original Ari.
He was so messy. Okay, got it. Thank you for explaining that, because I'm like, I've literally never heard of this girl in my life. Is she married to her partner from The Bachelor or no?
I don't think so.
Me
but
neither.
They have three kids. I think this is interesting.
Yeah, no, I have to look at her page to see if she actually is housewife material, because it's not just being well known that makes you a good housewife. Like, you have to be stylish, you have to be a little crazy, you have to have like something interesting about your life, like an interesting husband or like a mom who's crazy.
But like, I also think like what you're up to in your life like needs to coincide with what's going on at the franchise currently, and I don't think a former reality TV just like mom blogger would really work with the Real Housewives of Dallas crew right now. But I do think in other franchises,
OC,
like they could really benefit from an
Amanda Stanton,
Adrina Patridge one time was like rumored to be on the show. I think that they could benefit from an influencer on their show. So I think it just depends on like where they're at in the season of the show. But like right now, Real Housewives of Dallas, even though this season is like not its best, the cast is really
elevated.
Highland Park, you know, they're a serious bunch of women. So, and I also think they run in a very similar social circle currently,
which is like a very elite society Dallas
group. Yeah, but like
group.
They know each other off the show. They hang out off the show. They're invited to the same party. So I think that like in staying with that, they have a good mix of women.
Yeah, no. Now that I've thought it over, she makes sense to have auditioned and she makes sense to have not gotten the gig.
Yeah, but I think like if this was Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Rach Parcell should get the gig.
100%.
That like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is like an amazing show, but the only thing that it's missing is Rach Parcell.
Or a Parcell Scala girl. Because then Rach could like, you know, maybe Rach is too busy. She's like 1,000 kids. Like maybe Rach could just like pop in on her sister's filming, you know?
I don't know.
I would take any of them.
It's got to be Rach.
Of course it has to be Rach, but I would really take any of them.
I would take, yeah.
They just have such interesting lives. Or I would even take the mom. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and then we could get all of them.
Yeah, that's actually better.
Yeah, that works.
I agree. Some franchises would really benefit from like a digital personality or like someone with like a big following from a reality show, and some would not.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Dallas is a little too high society for that.
So I think they made the right decision, but I'm so interested. Interviewed twice. So they thought about it and they came to this conclusion.
Yeah, no. And she wants it bad.
She does. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
It's a little fast food news.
Oh, my God. That's the best type of news.
It's the best type of news. And, like, honestly, the game is changing.
Not on Passover, though. I'm so hungry.
Pizza Hut is redesigning their drive-thru. And I think, like, it's... The drive-thru is an amazing
concept.
Pizza
Hut has drive-thru?
Yeah. And now they're going to have the Hut Lane, which will offer convenience and speed without customers ever having to park their cars. It's to minimize the human contact element. Customers can place orders through the Pizza Hut app, website, and the restaurant's phone number through a new lane, and they will just be able to pick up their
like
food.
Like an easy pass.
I think that while the drive-thru lane is...
Nearly
it's
perfect.
Present. It's nearly perfect. Like, there are ways to modernize it and bring it into the future.
Yeah,
and I think
also,
that this could be, like, the beginning, obviously, of a new chapter for Pizza Hut, but, like, for so many other franchises, like, that line shouldn't be that long.
No, I agree. But at the same time, like, some of that is unavoidable because, yes, if you live near Pizza Hut and you're getting Pizza Hut for your family for dinner, it's easy to place the order and then go. But most fast food, people are driving through. It's just like, hey, should we stop here? You're not planning it, so you're not going to whip out your app 10 minutes before. Most of it is, like, roadside. You're on a drive on a road trip. So sometimes, yes, at a local Pizza Hut, a lot of people get Pizza Hut for their families, like for dinner. That yeah. I understand.
But all the times that like we've ever had drive-through, it's not like
I'm never planning it.
Maybe once in a while, but yeah.
But no, I know I'm going to get McDonald's like on this 3-hour road trip. I don't know which specific McDonald's I'm going to get to and when I'm 15 minutes away to put in. So this is good. They should keep both. I don't think the drive-thru is ever going to go away because it's literally so brilliant.
It's so brilliant and so iconic.
I'm like literally like my mouth is watering from this conversation.
I know, but you can have french fries. Why don't you get some french fries today?
I mean, it's a french fries. I guess I can. Because, you know, I'm trying to be like really K4P, you know?
French fries are the most K4P.
Yeah, but like they're not bread. They can be breaded. Like you don't know what's on the outside.
No, you know it's potato and oil. You know that.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, no, like that's like one of the joys of Passover are french fries and chips.
Yes, chips.
Chips.
Chips. Chips. Chips.
Love chips. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Wow, that happened so fast. Sure.
It's a little survey news that's showing the preferences of people.
Okay.
The return of the dad bod. A survey finds people prefer a softer male body type.
I'm one of those people.
75% of respondents to a survey conducted by dating.com said that they preferred the body shape to a more toned one.
What's the website that did it?
Dating.com.
Oh.
The term dad bod was first popularized in the mid-2010s to harshly critique the beach bodies of actors like Leonardo DiCaprio, Chris Pratt, and the non-traditional Hollywood physiques of actors such as Jason Segel and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Dating.com did a survey conducted from 2,000 participants and found that 20% of participants claimed that bod shape did not matter to them at all when it came to finding a partner. It also found that only 15% liked a Barbie or Ken-like body type. So very fit and in shape bodies are seen as ideal when it comes to attracting a partner. However, the users of dating.com just proved that isn't always the case when it comes to real life romances.
I'm so glad everyone's getting on board.
Movies and TV shows tend to promote the idea of Barbie and Ken body types, giving people the idea they need to look similar in order to find their match. We are happy to confirm that is not how the real world really operates.
Yeah, because like, okay, yes, it's nice when someone's chiseled. When they're laying on top of you, they're hard. Like, don't you want someone soft and cuddly?
Yeah, no, and apparently they do.
No, I'm so glad that like we are changing the stigma, especially around men.
Yeah, so I think that was really interesting. 75% of surveys. Of survey.
Surveys.
Servests.
Of servitude.
Of those surveys.
Surveys.
75% of those surveyed.
Yeah, that's right.
Said dad bod check.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I'm definitely on board with that as well. And I'm so glad. I usually have like a lot of unpopular opinions, you know? So now it's nice to know like, no, I actually have a popular
opinion.
You're
in the majority.
Yeah, like I like to wear my bra around the house. Like other people don't. Like I'm just like weird. I'm just quirky and different.
You're so quirky.
I'm not like other girls. Before we wrap up, there was no TV on yesterday, but I did catch up on RuPaul's Drag Race. And they did one of my favorite episodes, which is the roast challenge, where like, I always tell you this, and I never know if you're listening, but when it comes to being like a perfect
don't
drag queen.
Don't you know, I'm always listening.
With Drag Race, like you do sometimes tune me out, like I could tell.
Literally never.
Okay, well, so what
is it that's like you projecting, because that's what you do when okay. I talk about like my passions.
Okay, so what is it, what do I always say like it takes to be like a real, like the winner?
Okay, obviously the glam has to be on point, but the comedy too.
Okay. You are listening. So yeah, you need to be like a well-rounded queen, and the roast really separates the boys from the men, like, or the men from the women, whatever. Because like you really need to hold your own, and like doing stand-up is like so hard. And so it's always my favorite challenge, because for me, like I always am drawn to like the funny queens. So they always show up and show out. Candy Muse, who is my favorite, who's like not a winner, finally won her first challenge because she's so funny, and I'm just so happy for her. Then it was like all these fashion queens like who are like not funny, like Simone. That's the one who Rihanna DM'd, like, who was, like, definitely going to win. Like, she was in the bottom. Like, she really flopped. Like, it was not good. Then Gottmik, who's a real fashion queen, who I'm obsessed with, she really killed it. So, I don't know. It was, like, kind of like an episode where we reevaluated, like, everything we thought we knew. But basically, this Queen Utica went home, and she's, like, quirky. Like, and I don't love the quirky queens, like, Crystal Method from last season. Like, I don't – some people are drawn to quirky queens. Like, I'm drawn to, like – plus size and funny queens. Like, that's who I'm drawn to. But some people are drawn to, like, they're artists. And they're just, like, weird and quirky. And Utica was one of those queens. And for some reason, like, and she's, like, super nice. And she's very, like, they did this challenge, the doppelganger challenge, where they paired up queens. And they had to make each other look like each other. And she was, like, very, very nervous because she was paired with Simone, who's black. And she didn't want to, you know, wear an afro. She didn't want to cultural appropriate. So she's very, like, sensitive to other people's feelings. And she's just, like, this really sweet sweet queen. And then in the roast, she comes out, she calls everyone fat. Like, she's being insanely fucking mean. She calls Michelle Visage old. She calls Lonnie Love fat. She says Lonnie Love doesn't have a career. Like, she it was just crazy. And I'm like, Utica, what are you doing? Utica went home, obviously, because she stunk. But then also, like, when you're in the bottom two, you lip sync for your life. And Simone is just, like, a way better lip syncer. And it was Utica's time to go. But it was just, like, the craziest thing. Like, this queen who was, like, so, like, sensitive and, like, really worried about, like, offending people. And I get that it's a roast, but it was the nice girl roast. They roasted all the miscongenialities for the last couple of years. So it was, like, you were supposed to be nice.
She wasn't nice. Was she funny?
No, that's the thing. And that's what RuPaul said. It's, like, a roast, like, you can be mean, but if you are, like, it has to be really funny. Like, you just came out and you were, like, observing things. You're fat, you're old. Like, it was so weird. And so it was her time to go. And now there's only five left. Olivia Lux has got to go. You know, and this time, I feel like sometimes happens, like, on other shows like The Bachelor. Like, you know when someone just, like, accidentally makes it to the top five?
Yes.
Olivia Lux had, like, two good weeks. Olivia Lux is not a winner. She has to go. Rosé, Gottmik, Simone and Candy Muse are going to be the top four, and Candy Muse is definitely not winning. So I think Gottmik, Rosé, like, I really did not like her. Rosé is, say what you want about her, she's an all-around queen. She sings, she dances, she's hysterical, she's got the looks. Rosé could win. I think of Rosé or Gottmik, even though I love Simone, she has just, like, I'd be happy with any of them. That's the thing. And I've never really had that before. I'm always, like, really gunning for one person. I would love Candy Muse to win, but, like, she's just not a winner. Like, I know that about her. So then between Gottmik, Rosé, and Simone, I would be so happy if any of them win. And I really mean that.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's actually been, like, one of the best seasons, like, ever. And it's been COVID. Like, they haven't been able to, like, they usually have an audience for the roast. And they usually bring in, sometimes they bring in, like, army vets, and they do, like, drag makeovers. They bring in, like, you know, random people and do drag makeovers. There's been none of that, but it's still been really good.
Oh, that's great.
And they usually have the best guest judges, like the biggest stars. Everyone's dying to be on.
Right, but they haven't.
They've had a few in rotation who stay, like Lonnie Love has been on. She usually would be on, like, once a season. Now she's been on, like, five times.
Yeah.
Because they're keeping a few people in rotation.
Like, in the bubble.
In the bubble. And then just keeping, like, Ross Matthews, Carson, and Michelle Visage. Like, they're the stay. They always stay. So I feel like it's been a show that's been completely unimpacted by COVID, and I've been, like, so happy to have it back. And it's been one of my favorite seasons. It's been, they just got, like, an amazing group of queens. Like, everyone is so talented. And they had, like, a few people, like, come in remotely. Anne Hathaway came in remotely just to, like, give them a pep talk. And next week Scarlett Johansson's coming in remotely, but, like, who cares?
Damn.
Unless Colin Jost makes an appearance.
He might.
Can't be bothered.
Well, I'll be watching the other Boleyn girl, speaking of Scarlett Johansson.
Is she in it?
Yes, she plays Mary Boleyn.
Is that the other Boleyn?
That's the other. And then Anne Boleyn is played by Natalie Portman. I don't know how we've never seen this movie.
Yeah. I'm just, like, not a huge Natalie Portman girly.
Me neither.
But I really should be, because she's, like, our Jewish queen.
Yeah, no.
Like, I've never, okay, ready? I've never seen Black Swan. I think that movie with Ashton Kutcher is just, like, a sad attempt at being the Mila Kunis Justin Timberlake movie. Mm-hmm. Friends with Benefits. And it's just so bad. It's like, we get it, you're a doctor, you could still have a boyfriend. I just, like, hate movies with those, like, oh, I can't, I have a boyfriend, like, nobody cares. And then, like, I don't even know what else she's been in. I'm just, like, not a Natalie Portman girly whatsoever.
No, me neither. And I don't think, like, that would surprise anyone.
No, I know. I just think she, like, takes herself really seriously, especially in her films. And I like to watch fun films.
I agree. I love a fun film. And then she's in, like, Thor and Star Wars and, like, a lot of superhero movies.
Oh, that's why I don't watch that either.
Oh, and she was Jackie.
Jackie?
My husband.
Oh, I did see that movie, and I thought she was terrible. So I think thus confirms I'm just not a Natalie Portman girl. Like, no shade if you are. Like, have so much respect for you. Like, live your life. Be your best self. I just have personally made the choice not to live for Natalie Portman. And LOL. You all just have to respect that.
We do. We really do. Other than that, I think tonight I'm going to turn my TV on for the first time in, like,
something's
2 weeks.
Something's on tonight,
right? Real Housewives of Dallas.
Okay, I have to catch up on last week.
Me too. And yeah, we got Dear Toasters tomorrow. So excited. Get your little quandaries into us at deartoasters@gmail.com.
So yeah, we'll do Dallas recap tomorrow and Dear Toasters. So make sure to write deartoasters@gmail.com. And I cannot stress this enough. If you have written us in and we have read your prompt on air, please let us know how it went. We are dying over here. Send us an update. Email at deartoasters@gmail.com. Just put update in the subject line or just respond to the email. It would be really helpful for us because we're just trying to tie up some loose ends.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're feeling RDH that this episode is ending, head over to patreon.com/morningtoast where there is tons of premium content and are lots of premium episodes.
$7.99 a month for 5 extra episodes from Jackie and I, vlogs and podcast episodes. Great way to support the show and get access to the last remaining Facebook group on Earth, The Toast After Dark, which is really one of the only safe spaces on the internet. So
it's a fabulous place.
It's worth the $7
for that,
regardless.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow for
Hump Day.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye.